This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. A social enterprise uses for-profit and non-profit business models, combining features of each to create an organization for improving society. Instead of relying on donations, it relies on the income earned from sales or services and reinvests that money to stay financially stable. Greater Cincinnati has become home to several social enterprises, and more people are realizing the value of the concept. October 3rd through 8th is Social Enterprise Week in Cincinnati, and the week kicks off October 3rd with the Social Enterprise Cincy Summit. Joining us to discuss the importance of social enterprises and to give us a preview of Social Enterprise Week, our Flywheel Social Enterprise Hub Executive Director Bill Tucker, Flywheel Communications Specialist Jess Kerr, and Executive Director of Bad Girl Ventures, Nancy Eichholz. You can be part of the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Bill, Jess, and Nancy, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Thanks, Mark.
Bill, by way of introduction, tell us about Flywheel and why the organization was created.
Flywheel was created in this community by community funders, those folks in the community who fund traditionally nonprofits, and saw this model of social enterprise as a way for nonprofits to get access to unrestricted revenue and still deliver on their social mission. So for them, it was really important that there be a hub for social enterprise activity in the greater Cincinnati region. That was in 2010, and a lot's happened since then.
Well, what kind of impact have you had?
A dramatic. We've had created a community of social entrepreneurs that are networked with each other, beginning to be networked with other resources that help them in the community. Everything from advice and planning about things such as marketing strategy, branding, accounting, funding, and those types of things. We've really created an environment that's fertile for social entrepreneurs in this community.
Now, Jess, you're working with Flywheel on a new program that's called Elevator. So I wonder if you tell us about Elevator and what that program is.
Yeah, so Flywheel moved to Union Hall in Cincinnati in
March of this year.
So March of this year, right as I was starting at Flywheel. And Union Hall is the startup hub of Cincinnati, traditionally for tech startups, accelerators that are nationally ranked, the Brandery, UpTech, and Ocean. And, you know, we were in this environment and we were, you know, a little jealous that all these tech accelerators could fast track tech startups, and similar resources for social enterprises just didn't exist. And we created this program called Elevator, which is Cincinnati's very first social enterprise accelerator. And we are taking the best practices of the tech resources in the startup community, and we are applying them to social enterprises that are up and coming.
Nancy, fill us in on Bad Girl Ventures.
Bad Girl Ventures has been around about 6 years, and in that 6 years, we've served over 1,000 women. About 80% of the businesses that we've launched are still in business. We focus on helping women access capital. It's more difficult for women to access capital, and we understand that. So we help them prepare very well so that when they go for capital, they're ready and they're confident that they're not asking for capital, they're expecting capital. And then we help them, much like Flywheel, in every aspect of their business along the way. We educate, we coach, we mentor, we stick with them after the business is launched. We are quickly becoming the regional resource center for female entrepreneurs.
So how many women have gone through the program, Nancy?
In the past 6 years, we've served over 1,000 women. Some we have provided funding, others we have provided the education piece. And we have operations in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, and also up in Cleveland.
Jess, you've actually started, you're just out of college.
Yes.
And you've actually already started a social enterprise. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I am fresh out of college. I just graduated from the University of Dayton. And when I was in college, yes, good school, go Flyers. when I was in school, I kind of accidentally started a company. There's a thing at UD called the Global Business Plan Competition. And I don't really have a fear of public speaking. And so the first step of this competition is a 60-second elevator pitch. And I said I could come up with something and, you know, pitch it and win some money. And so I came up with this idea of there's people in my life that had these chronic lung issues. Both of my grandmothers, my roommate had cystic fibrosis, and I created this device that would be able to measure their lung function from home, since people with chronic lung diseases, COPD, cystic fibrosis, they often have to get this measured every month, if not more. So I came up with this and pitched it and won some money, blew it all on a steak dinner, and kind of that was it. And I remember the university filmed it and put it on YouTube, and I did not realize how like small viral it went. And I opened my computer to start doing homework that Sunday night, and I just had tons and tons of emails from people saying, I loved your pitch. When can I get this? Do you accept checks? And I said, well, no, it's not really, doesn't really exist yet. But I filed a patent on it and recently just donated it. And a percentage of all wholesale products will go to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. So I kind of accidentally started my own social enterprise.
But it was a pleasant accident, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, very pleasant. I quickly realized I had this thing that could help thousands of people in the community, and to not do it after all these people had reached out to me and said that they needed it, it just didn't make sense. I had the resources, I had, you know, the skills to start a company, and so that's what I did.
You're finding that more and more people your age, more millennials, are attracted to the idea of social enterprises?
Oh, 100%. It's no secret that this generation is more philanthropic, and I think that's happening because the world around us is changing to adapt to millennial trends. Within minutes of a tragedy happening, there's a Kickstarter campaign. You know, the shootings in Orlando, you know, within 10 minutes there was a Kickstarter campaign or small ways that people can help. And so I think it's easier and easier for people to get involved in social issues that they care about and kind of brainstorm big picture on ways that they can start something and contribute in their own way.
And, you know, from our perspective as, social entrepreneurs in this community, what we found, and Tamara said that in her recorded section earlier, and that is that, it's all about the power of the marketplace. It's about sales and how sales of products and services can really drive this economic uplifting of parts of the community that otherwise are underserved. And so we see the power of that. The other thing that really comes to mind to me as well is talking about not just young people and their approach to philanthropy, but just women in general in entrepreneurship. And Nancy and I were talking about that earlier.
Right. What we love in our part of the world is women in general, I don't like to generalize, but women in general like to fix things. They like to help people. And the women that we see come through our program, they love what they're doing and they're proud of their product. They're excited about what they have to offer. But it isn't always right at the first about the money. It's really about how can they make the world better? Is this product going to solve a problem? Are they going to raise up the people around them? There's much more of a nurturing approach that women have. And so they become a social enterprise, even if that wasn't necessarily their intention. And that's been exciting for us to watch, the problem solving. And then we do have some definite businesses that started out as social enterprises. We have Project Blue Collar that provides collars for rescue dogs, and they've now teamed up with a for-profit entity, Pet Wants, which is huge. So that's been just lovely to see these women working together. We have SRO Prints that is a social enterprise. So we're seeing more and more of that. And that's what we're really excited about, partnering with Flywheel on the summit and some other things that we're doing with them, because we already have that in our nature as an organization.
Do you think, Nancy, that more and more people are starting to see the value and the benefits that can come from social enterprises?
I do. And I think that some of it is just their own personal passion, and that's what's driving them. But I also see that the women are understanding that they will get better support financially in the community for a social enterprise. They can affiliate with other organizations better when they have that social enterprise aspect. So I think it's becoming more of an intention, where in the past, as I think it was, like you said, almost accidental. In a good way.
And Bill, what is the difference between a social enterprise and a business that's socially conscious? Is there a difference between the two things?
So sometimes, and I know originally in this community, I think we got tied up a little bit about this definition of social enterprise. And what we look at, when we think of companies that are social enterprises, there are businesses, as I said earlier, that use the power of the marketplace. That is that value exchange that takes place between the seller and the buyer of some product or service. And that's really what defines them, in addition to the fact that their primary purpose underlying everything else is about making this community a better place, either through who they employ, you know, the improvements that they make to the environment or things like that. So, yeah, all of those things.
And I guess the key difference is if your primary mission is to do something of social benefit, then you are a social enterprise.
Yeah, corporate social responsibility is laudable, and we support that. But oftentimes it's a marketing piece to things and really isn't what the organization is really about. So we really look to support those organizations that are willing to put that extra effort in. Like Timer mentioned, the things that they do to bring women up through their program and into employment takes a ton of time and energy. I think of organizations like Thrive Urban Impact Sourcing here in Cincinnati or Nehemiah Manufacturing that are willing to hire people, bring people into their companies that otherwise are very difficult to employ. And that's really what they're about. And that's really, for us, the definition of a social enterprise. And oh, by the way they do that, the way they support it, is that they're selling products and services that people like you and me and businesses in this community want to buy. I guess the one thing that I would say is that, you know, if there's anything else that I want to come out of this social enterprise movement in Cincinnati, and what I hope for the Social Enterprise Week is a greater awareness, whether you're a consumer and you have a choice about what products that you buy, that you consider buying products that are sold by Nehemiah and, you know, their Downy Wrinkle Releaser. You know, it's a great product and they employ people. When you're a business and you're looking to purchase office supplies, you know, that you consider purchasing those office supplies for Viability, which is a social enterprise of Cincinnati Association of Blind and Visually Impaired. You get the very same products. You get great prices, next day delivery. And by the way, you're helping people who otherwise would not have employment. And that's a fantastic goal.
I was amazed when Tamara said that the Women's Bean Project has 1,000 places that are selling their products.
Yeah.
And is it the case sometimes that you might be buying something that is created by a social enterprise and not even know it?
And you wouldn't even know it. Absolutely. You know, we had being in Union Hall and around the startup community and with the great support of Centrifuge, CEO Wendy Lee has been just fabulous in really helping integrate us into that organization. We've been able to bring in social entrepreneurs into that organization and introduce them to that community. So, you know, people like Center Table Catering, Tower Houses, House Cafe and Catering, those folks are now getting exposed to that community as well.
We will continue our conversation about social enterprises, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to discuss the importance of social enterprises and to give us a preview of Social Enterprise Week, our Flywheel Social Enterprise Hub Executive Director, Bill Tucker, Flywheel Communications Specialist, Jess Kerr, and Executive Director of Bad Girl Ventures, Nancy Eichholz. And you can be part of the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jess, as far as this accelerator that you're getting started at Flywheel, the elevator, what are some of the businesses that are involved in that?
Yeah, so we accepted 7 companies. Originally, as a pilot, we were only going to accept 3 to 5. And we put this panel of judges together to help us make our decision for our very first cohort. And we were overwhelmed with the amount of people who wanted to be involved and ended up taking 7 companies. And they're solving issues in our community ranging from food insecurity to the lack of LGBTQ care to child services. So we're really excited about the span that this could make, the span of difference that this could make on the Cincinnati community. One in particular, LaSoupe, her name is Susie DeYoung. She actually founded the restaurant La Petite Pierre, and it was one of Cincinnati's best restaurants. And still is, but she sold it and used that money to start a company called La Soupe, where she takes donated food from Kroger and Jungle Gyms and Sarvati's, I mean thousands of pounds of food that normally would have been thrown away, that would have just been sent to a landfill. And she makes this delicious soup that she gives to Cincinnati Public Schools, to different food banks. She recently took a lot to the Norwood Relief. They had a video screening of a movie, and she took a lot of soup there and gave some food out. And as Nancy was saying earlier, you know, women have this, you know, nurturing nurturing attitude, and she just is one of those people who's just give, give, give. And they were running into the problem that they were giving so much that they weren't making enough money to sustain their social enterprise. And so they joined Elevator, and we are helping them make that pivot toward a more sustainable model that, you know, you cannot give as much if you are not sustaining your business. You won't grow in order to give more. So we're, you know, helping them create this model of sustainability where they're, you know, increasing their retail sales so that in the future they can give more to Cincinnati Public Schools and to all the amazing organizations that benefit from her work.
And Nancy, it sounds like there is no end to the number of different issues that a social enterprise can deal with. Is that one of the strengths of this model? It's very flexible and adaptable?
I think definitely. What I love about entrepreneurship in general and where we've come over the last number of years is anything is possible. And I love what Jess just said, that, you know, if you can't monetize your idea, then it's a hobby. And it's a very expensive hobby. And if you truly want to make a difference in the world and you want to change an issue or a problem in your community, you still have to function like a business. Bad Girl Ventures is actually a nonprofit organization that helps for-profit entities launch. So we, as an organization, have to remember that we are a social enterprise in and of ourselves, but we still need to be profitable. And it's hard to fundraise in our scenario. And it is hard to be sure that we, as an organization, have sustainable revenue streams. So we have a lot of the same issues and concerns that these social entrepreneurs have. So I love the flexibility that all the different aspects of entrepreneurialism, whether you're a for-profit tech organization or you're a social enterprise, you can still make a living, you can still change your world, and make the community a better place.
And it sounds like anyone who is going to start a social enterprise needs to approach it, just like you're saying, as you would a business. You need a sound business plan, and you need to go in with your eyes wide open.
You'll still need funding.
Yeah.
And you have to have your ducks in a row get that funding. You have to have a solid business plan.
That, to me, is one of the most important things, and that is that, as you said, it's a hobby or it's a charity. And what we really look for is those individuals, organizations that can monetize this great idea that they have. They can commercialize something that they've been giving away for free, still serve their mission, be 100% in line with that mission, but find a better way to support that mission than just going out and trying to apply for another grant and that type of approach.
Why do people launch social enterprises? What's the attraction, Bill?
You know, most of them that I have seen, they come from kind of the places that both Jess and Nancy have talked about, Tamara talked about as well, you know, that they've seen people in hurting, they've seen people in need, they've seen problems that need to be solved, and they realize that they have an idea about how to solve that, and they have an idea about how to monetize that idea that they have so that they don't just have to go out and create a new charity, another, you know, nonprofit in the community, but they can start a business that will help solve that problem.
Any idea how many social enterprises are in Cincinnati?
You know, it because of this kind of loose definition, it gets really hard, but to try to pin down a specific number, what I can tell you is that as we have talked more about social enterprise in this community, more have emerged. You know, I happened to go to a car wash down on Reading Road and was waiting for my car to be done and noticed that the car wash was started by two Cincinnati police officers who did that with the idea of employing people that were coming, you know, prison reentry type program. So employing people that, as they say, returning citizens. So they're everywhere. And, you know, they measure it probably in the hundreds. I would say that we've self-identified at least 100 social enterprises in this community, and they're all shapes and sizes.
No, but you say the number is growing.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, absolutely. They have really emerged, particularly in the last couple of years.
And so what's the environment like in Cincinnati? Do we have a good environment for social enterprises?
We really do. We've got a number of resources available to social entrepreneurs. Flywheel has existed in this community for 5 years. We continue to offer workshops and training programs as part of our core job of education and training. That's what we do in this community. Another part of what we do is provide connections. And so there's a lot of ways that we can connect social entrepreneurs with resources. Either other social entrepreneurs, there's a great chapter of the Social Enterprise Alliance here in Cincinnati. In fact, Tamara happens to be the chairperson of that national organization. And so we've got ways where they can get involved as volunteers. In addition to that, things like the Social Enterprise Cincy Summit and that whole week give social entrepreneurs a way to not only expose what they're doing to the community and potential customers, but it also gets the community an opportunity to understand how they can support those organizations.
So let's talk about the upcoming Social Enterprise Week, October 3rd through the 8th?
Correct.
Okay. Tell us about that, Bill.
Well, the biggest part of this and where it really kicks off is on Monday, October 3rd. We're holding the event at the Freedom Center. The folks down at the Freedom Center are partnering with us in this. They see our mission aligned with theirs about ending modern-day slavery. And a lot of the women, for example, that come out of programs like Tamara's are coming out of very difficult situations that align with that. So we're really happy to be in partnership with them. We got that venue for the entire day. So registration starts at 8:30 in the morning, and the evening ends at 7 o'clock. We're going to have two keynotes. Tamara will be doing one of those keynotes in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we're going to have Mike Basher, who is VP of Retail Operations for Fair and Square, a social enterprise, a grocery store that was planted in a food desert in near Philadelphia area, and solves that issue of urban, you know, lack of access to food, wholesome, healthy food, and employment as well. And then following those, we're actually got some breakout sessions, 10 different breakout sessions during the day about 5 different topics. And then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to do what the Brandery is doing tomorrow, what Ocean did back a few months ago, what UpTech did as well, what Bad Girl Ventures and Mortar and Co-Starters all do. And we're going to give these entrepreneurs, social entrepreneurs, an opportunity to pitch. And they're going to be pitching about 4:15 in the afternoon to the crowd at the Freedom Center, get an opportunity to put their best foot forward in terms of their company. So that's going to be really exciting. Then we have a reception after that.
It sounds like it's going to be a great way for social enterprise folks to make connections.
It is. And really what we hope more than anything else is that business leaders, civic and government leaders come to this as well and begin to realize the power of this market, of this thing we call social enterprise. And begin to support it. Like I said, buying office supplies, getting catering done, purchasing consumer products from them. It's a great way to support this community.
Tell me about October the 8th. That's going to be a bi-social Saturday?
Bi-social Saturday, yeah. Again. Right, exactly. So that's a day in which we recognize that encourage people to make those purchase decisions to a social company. So on our website, secincy.org, there is a listing of companies in this area that are social enterprises, and they can get links to those companies and start purchasing from them.
And also at the summit itself on October 3rd, we're going to have a marketplace throughout the entire day of social enterprises, as you come from your breakout session or the keynote panels, things like that throughout the day, that has over 30 social enterprises that you can, that are featuring their products and you can go up and talk to and see how they align with your business and how you can start to buy social, as they say. So even if you can only come to the summit on the 3rd, you'll still get exposure to all these different companies who are doing amazing things in the community that you either didn't know about or that you are interested in and want to learn more about.
Bill, what kind of impact would you say social enterprises have had on Cincinnati?
Oh, my gosh. Tamara was talking earlier about what the kind of the economic value is. She talked about this study and, what the return on investment is. That's better data than I have. But what I can tell you that when Flywheel was originally put together its business plan, The estimate was that for every job created in Cincinnati through social enterprise, returned about $60,000 to the community. So that's the economic value of that. We see that every day. You know, a year ago, Thrive Urban Impact Sourcing was just an idea. And now they're employing people in doing quality assurance testing for on websites in the IT space. And those are people that otherwise would not have had that opportunity, not just for an entry-level job, but to really advance their careers up through, into traditional IT jobs that pay well.
Now, as far as the summit and the events for Social Enterprise Week, registration still open for that?
Absolutely, yeah. Registration will be open. Tickets are on sale now, and by going to secincy.org, there's a link on there to the summit, and from there you can learn all about the timing of the day, what the agenda is, who the speakers are, and purchase tickets if
you'd like. We have a link to that at wvxu.org as
That's
well.
Great.
Now, when does it close? Can you register right up to the final day?
So you can register up until the final day, but the tickets increase in pricing the longer that you wait. So I would encourage everyone to get their ticket now. And on our website, it's the agenda of the whole day. It's a very come-and-go kind of atmosphere. You know, if you want to come for this breakout session and see this keynote speaker and then maybe, you know, walk down to the banks for lunch and then come back, we will provide lunch, but it's a very come-and-go. You don't have to be there at 8:30 in the morning and stay till 5 o'clock at night, and you can never leave or not get back in. You know, it's a very come and go experience a day as you want to. So we're really excited for the turnout.
And one thing I'd say, it's not, you know, in addition to learning a lot and building important connections, the other thing about it is you're going to be supporting social enterprises while you do it. The food at noon, the lunch meal, coffee and snacks during the day are all provided by local social entrepreneurs. So we're kind of walking our talk, and that is that we are investing in those very companies that we think are lifting up Cincinnati, and by using their products and services at this event.
Bill, Jess, and Nancy, thanks for being here this afternoon. Flywheel Social Enterprise Hub Executive Director Bill Tucker, Flywheel Communications Specialist Jess Kerr, and Executive Director of Bad Girl Ventures Nancy Eichholz. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at wvxu.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier, with help from Kevin Reynolds. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Dave Shermer was the technical director. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. As more people discover the health and financial benefits of growing their own foods, many consider expanding their efforts in order to become self-sufficient or to generate additional income. On the next Cincinnati Edition, our horticulture experts join us to answer your gardening questions and discuss how you can live a more self-sufficient lifestyle or increase production and profits from an existing farm. That's on Cincinnati Edition, Thursday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.